91.3 KXCI Tucson, Real People, Real Radio. Hello, Tucson. Welcome to 91.3 KXCI, and you're listening to Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host Aspen Green, and you can hear many of our programs on our Broad Perspectives podcast page at kxci.org. Today, we are so happy to bring Betsy Cruz Craig to you from the Invisible Theater. She's such a vibrant and talented person. I can't wait to hear what she has to say, Aspen.
Me either, because Betsy and I have been talking about her being on this show for, I don't know, maybe a year or more. So this is very exciting. So let's start. Betsy Cruz Craig is an experienced actor, director, and educator with nearly three decades in the performing arts. Renowned for her innovative approach and passion for storytelling, she has directed acclaimed productions across genres, including Enemy of the People, Violet, Buried Child, The Lion King, Legally Blonde, and Twelfth Night, amongst others. As a performer, Betsy has appeared regionally with the Paperbag Players, The News in Review in New York City, and Clue in the Musical in Chicago. Her notable roles include Hedda Gabler, Barbara Weston in August Osage County, Tallulah Bankhead in Looped, Morticia in The Addams Family, and Heidi in What the Constitution Means to Me. Former artistic director at the Pear Theater, she is now the managing artistic director at the Invisible Theater. Betsy holds a master's in fine arts and has taught acting, directing, voice, and movement at Pima Community College and the University of Arizona. Her work emphasizes collaboration and the transformative power of the arts for individuals and communities. Welcome to our show, Betsy.
It is an honor. I'm so glad to finally be here.
I know. Let me just start with the fact that you've lived and worked all over in Minnesota, in Chicago, in Florida, in California, but you keep coming back to Tucson. So what is it about Tucson that keeps calling you back?
It's interesting, and I think very telling that Tucson keeps calling me back. You know, I never intended on staying in Tucson after graduate school. I got my master's degree here, which is what brought me here in the first place. My parents and grandparents both were snowbirds, so I'd heard about it all my life. And then when it came time to choose graduate schools, I had some choices, but ended up coming to the University of Arizona. And after I graduated, I went to New York City, never thinking that I would return. And life sort of happened. That's a long story, but I ended up back here and ended up married, having children. And then life called and I was in the Bay Area for almost 10 years. And then during COVID, I came home one day and he said, "Do you want to go home?" And I think that right there is the reason, is that we've always felt that Tucson is home. And I think many Tucsonans would say the same thing. There is something that calls you to the desert for many, many reasons, whether it's a spiritual longing for this or the people that you've met. It's a very, very unique community. And it's hard to explain to people who don't get it.
Yeah, you know? That actually leads me to my second question, which would be, how would you describe the spirit of Tucson's theater community to someone who's never experienced it?
I think it's surprising. I think that people are very surprised that we have as much theater as we do in Tucson. It's rich. It's very diverse. We have some really wonderful companies doing some really exciting work. I look forward to the future and trying to find ways that we can collaborate more and more. There are some of the artistic directors in town and we have those conversations. It's just you get so busy in your own season that it's tough to find ways to collaborate. But back to your original question, I would say it's surprising. It's diverse. I think it's filled with potential. I'm always excited thinking about what we could do. And not only at Invisible Theater, but what all the different companies in Tucson have the potential for. I think it's potentially a really incredible mecca regionally for theater. I know that we have the Arizona Theater Company as a professional regional theater, but I do feel that some of the smaller non-professional, and that's a word I hate to say because I do feel like the Invisible Theater offers up professional quality performances every time, even though we don't do a lot of equity contracts anymore. I just would say it's rich with potential across the board.
And I have to agree with you. I think it's a wonderful place. You can almost go to theater every night. There's so many different things going on. And I think they're all professional quality. What drew you to the theater? And when did you realize this was your calling?
So when I was little, 2, 3, I took dance.
Cool.
The little girl in her black leotard, tap, 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 tapping away. And I think that was the first part of it. I'm 6 feet tall, right? So I was always, dead center in the back. And I think there was something about early, the limelight, the attention. I'm an only child. I think it was my opportunity to kind of shine in a group, which I really liked. So it was super early, and it was definitely through dance, which I did a lot of until graduate school. I danced quite a bit in interwoven through everything else I did, but that was the gateway.
So you've written and directed your own original shows. What is it like bringing your own words to life on stage, wearing both the writer's and the director's hat?
Terrifying. And I certainly haven't done as much of it as I want to. I think writing, and I admire writers more and more and more every day, because when I sit down and I try to do it, it's really hard. And I feel like for me, and I think a lot of writers would probably agree, it's the only thing you can do. It is so solely focused that you really need the time. And I feel, again, hopefully I've got some potential in the writing area. When I can finally take the time to do it, I have a lot of ideas. I have written some shows, mostly musical reviews. I did some of those at the University of Arizona, and it was thrilling because when you put together something from nothing, it's so exciting to see it come to fruition. We're working on this project right now called Inside Out, Men Behind Bars, and I'm working with Dr. Linda Green, who's an anthropologist at the University of Arizona, and we're working with inmates at the federal penitentiary here in Tucson,
Wow.
taking some of their narratives and weaving it together and creating an original theatrical piece that we're putting up at Invisible Theater in March. And that's my current project, and I'm in the thick of that. It's so incredible watching something come to fruition. But I will say, again, it's terrifying. It's a lot of responsibility and a lot of self-judgment and worry that you're missing something, and it's never done. That's
Yeah.
the other thing that I have learned more and more in my creative process is it just never feels finished, which is exciting and
Isn't that
frustrating.
what most artists say, whether you're painting or you're doing a play,
Exactly.
you're writing a song, you know?
And artists who say it's done, I have some concerns about. I'm always like, are you crazy? And sometimes you have to let it go,
Yeah,
obviously, and
obviously.
take the leap, and the net will appear, right? But
Or you'll have nothing done ever. Nobody will
exactly.
ever see anything.
And I get those people that kind of work that way, but so it's circular. And writing, like I said, I am so filled with admiration for people who just write. I couldn't do it.
Well, you've been the managing artistic director of the Invisible Theater for a relatively short time. I imagine building on the legacy of Susan Clausen is a huge responsibility. How's it going?
It's going really well. It's absolutely in terms of things that are terrifying. Susan Clausen was with the Invisible Theater for over 50 years. And she was, when I say with the Invisible Theater, she has been the Invisible Theater. And that iconic presence, that towering, for somebody who's what, 5'2", towering pillar of strength and excellence and power that is Susan Clausen. To walk into those sequined shoes is crazy. And so that was daunting, just the idea of it. But Invisible Theater has been part of my life on and off since the early 90s. I did my first show there when I was in graduate school, The Real Inspector Hound, I remember. It was a really fun show. I feel like invisible theater has been in my blood. It's been part of my training ground, part of my training arena as a director and an actor for many, many years. It's interesting. Maybe it took me leaving and going to California and being managing artistic director at another theater to really believe in myself enough to think that I could come in and step into those sparkly shoes. It was a really incredible foundation to continue to build upon, is how I see it. It's such a strong, strong base there that the job that I have to do is just continue to make sure that the integrity of that construction maintains the same as we continue to build upon it.
And let me just say, I've been there many times this season, and you are doing a fabulous job of maintaining that high level that Suze handed over to you. I think it's
Thank
just
you.
going wonderfully.
That's the hugest compliment anybody can give.
Before we talk about your upcoming season, I wanted to talk about a performance that already happened because of the incredible experience it was for me. I got to see a reading at IT a few weeks ago, Mud and Fire, the Pottery Play by Lindsay Joel. It was such an interesting experience, my first ever seeing a reading. And I wanted to ask about the process of reading a script aloud in front of an audience without full costumes, sets, or memorizations, so they had their script in front of them. Can you share what the purpose is and how this benefits the writer?
Absolutely. I want to give a shout out to Susan, who started this series, and currently it's called Women's Voices. We're changing that title to New Voices just because we feel like we need a broader umbrella for people who don't identify necessarily as women, and because there's a lot of male playwrights out there that also deserve a nod. A play reading is an incredible experience, and the more I do them through the years, the more I love them. For the writer, they are incredibly important. It allows a writer to focus on hearing their script without the distraction of a full production in terms of being worried about the set, the costumes, all of that, which isn't really the writer's job anyway. It's the director producer. But as a writer is honing their script, they need to hear it. Otherwise, it exists kind of in a bubble in their mind. And if they don't actually hear those words live in the air, it's very difficult for them to hear the rhythm of the piece. Lindsay Joel wrote The Garbologist, which we produced at the end of last season. I was so thrilled when I met Lindsay. Lindsay is recent to the Tucson area. She's been here for about 3 years. And she lived in New York for a long time. And I was introduced through a mutual friend, and the two of us just connected. And she's really become part of the artistic momentum in terms of new work at Invisible Theater, which is really exciting. But I wanted her to be a part of this Women's Voices series. And she had a different play that we were originally going to do. And about a month and a half before we did the reading, she called me up and said, would you be okay if this was a brand new play that is set in Tucson? And I was like, are you kidding me? Of course. And she's like, are you sure? And I said, absolutely. And so this play was literally written in a month. And that's really scary. She took almost 3 years to develop Garbologists, but this idea came and she wanted to integrate her passion in pottery with some of the political things that are going on here, particularly unique to the Tucson area. Well, not really so unique to Tucson, but it's happening all over in terms of immigration and ICE and what have you.
It was very current to the
It was very
situation.
current. I think that the audience responded to that.
I love the fact that the audience actually gave her some ideas afterwards. That was really fascinating to me, not only because it gave her ideas, but it had me thinking, oh, yeah, that could have been different. Or well, maybe even that was wonderful. Well, but all the feedback afterwards, I love that.
And you have to be really careful with that. And that's why being the moderator is a big responsibility because sometimes people run with their criticism in a direction that they just like to hear themselves speak.
There was
And
one person there that I thought might have been that guy.
interesting. I still have to fill my third slot. I had an incident yesterday when the playwright realized that there would be a talk back afterwards. And they said, no, I don't want to hear anything. And I don't want the audience to have anything afterwards except the experience of the play. So it's unique, and the playwright has to be open and willing to that. There's a difference between a developmental reading. This was really a developmental reading. This is a script that's still being worked. Sometimes a script is, as we talked about, done, and a writer doesn't want to change anything on the
They
page.
just want to see it on stage.
Exactly. Or hear it, have
Right.
an audience hear it. But it's a wonderful, wonderful, really incredible experience for the actors, for the writer, and definitely for the audience.
Yeah.
Really.
Oh, it was a wonderful experience. That's why I wanted to talk about it. Before we talk about your upcoming season, why don't we take a music break? We love music breaks.
Yes, we absolutely do. And I think it's a perfect time for one. And we have a wonderful song. The one that Betsy has chosen is called Brave by Sara Bareilles. Do you want to tell us a little about why did you choose this song?
I'm going to get all like weepy. I think that being an artist requires bravery. I think that coming back to a community or going into a community as an artist takes a lot of bravery. I think starting over requires bravery. And this song for me is a little bit of an anthem that way.
The song Brave was written by Sara Bareilles and Jack Antonoff. It was inspired by a close friend of Bareilles who was struggling with coming out of the closet. It's about encouraging someone to be courageous and speak up for themselves, even when it's frightening. It's also become an anthem for patients battling life-threatening illnesses. Now, Sara Bareilles is a singer, songwriter, and actress. She's sold over 3 million albums and 15 million singles. She's won two Grammy Awards, nominations for four Primetime Emmy Awards, and three Tony Awards. In 2012, VH1 named her one of the top 100 greatest women in music. Sara considers herself definitely sort of a feminist. She says, "I don't think that being a feminist has anything to do with hating anything. It's about celebrating women and being productive for females. I'm not one for seeing amazing, intelligent women being reduced to sex symbols." Sara has been a longtime ally of the LGBTQ plus community. So let's listen to this song, Brave, by Sara Bareilles from her album, The Blessed Unrest. 91.3 KXCI Tucson. That is a lovely and powerful song. And we're returning to our interview with Betsy Cruz Craig, Managing Artistic Director of the Invisible Theater.
All right, now we get to talk about the upcoming season, which I'm sure we could do an hour and a half on. But let's start with the next play. It's Ken Ludwig's Moriarty opening on October 26th. And who doesn't love Sherlock Holmes?
Right.
What can you share about this production?
Wow, I can share that it feels very different than anything I've seen on the IT stage for a while. When we put this show into the season, one, it was because what we just said, who doesn't love Sherlock? And also, I love Ken Ludwig. He's very prolific. Lend Me a Tenor. We did one of his shows, Dear Jack, Dear Louise, recently. I guess it was a couple of years ago now. He's got the ability to kind of bridge genres. He's very, very funny, very, very intelligent. I really love his writing. And I wanted to do something in this slot that was purely enjoyable. Five actors play over 30 characters. Sherlock and Watson stay the same throughout, so the other three have the heavy lifting. So multiple characters, multiple dialects, multiple locations, very, very fast. There's a lot of things that remind me of the Gaslight Theater. Great shout out to, of course, the iconic Gaslight Theater in Tucson, where I have done more shows than I could even count.
Yes, you have.
With more specificity, a little bit more controlled production elements in it. I couldn't be happier. It's just a lot of fun. It is definitely a journey and a romp.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. This is another one I'm looking forward to. On November 19th is You've Got to Have Heart, bringing the Great American Songbook to life. That's so different from the one we just talked about. This is a collaboration and sounds like more of a musical concert. And is this at IT? Is that at your small theater?
It is. This is a show we put together about 3 years ago. We've done it before at the Gaslight Music Hall. We're trying to bring some music back into Invisible Theater throughout the season. And so, since we had already reworked the show, we're like, oh, let's just stick it in this little slot if we can. Singing with Armin Dertadian, the wonderful Daniel Sly Slepetsky was our musical director for this. And it's really difficult to try to put together a show with five different composers, Cole Porter, Rodgers and Hart, and George and Ira Gershwin. And when you realize that these men were all contemporaries, they all knew each other, and you listen to some of this incredible music, you shake your head and you just are like, I cannot even believe how rich and amazing these tunes are. There is that saying, they don't write them like that anymore. I
And
love
everybody recognizes those songs, no matter what
that.
age group you are.
Oh, and they're so wonderful. And so we're super excited to bring it to IT just for one night on November 19th.
Okay. And you're bringing back by popular demand, and this I'm very excited about, What the Constitution Means to Me, which was a highlight of last season in IT. The play was written in 2017 before Roe versus Wade was overturned and played first on Off-Broadway and then on Broadway. And you played Heidi, the main character in this play. Can you tell us why this was such an important stage production and why it means so much to you?
I've always felt like theater should do many, many things. But for me, particularly earlier in my career, I really was dedicated to the idea that theater can help invoke change. Perhaps it can be a salve for those of us who are wanting change and can't find it or need to do something. What the Constitution means to me was a real opportunity for me to marry a desire to invoke change through performance and also entertain. This piece, when I read it right after it came out, I was like, I have to do this. I was a debater all through high school and in college as well. It resonated for me for so many reasons because I remember writing original speeches in high school about really complex issues. I wrote a speech about gay rights and I got kicked out of a couple of competitions. And
Good for you.
yeah, thank you. I was like, I have to perform this. When Susan Clausen put it into the season after we discussed it, I was just thrilled. It was the chance of a lifetime for me. We performed it and had such incredible response. I think it's because this play resonates with so many people across the board. It is not a polarizing, well, I think it is for some people. I was lucky enough to perform the piece very recently in Pennsylvania. The director of the piece, Carrie J. Cole, who is the director here in Tucson, is a professor at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. And she asked me if I would come out as a guest artist and perform it for a week out at the university, which I did. And the reception there was very different than Tucson. We had a couple of men get up and leave. I'm happy to say that their wives stayed, which was incredibly powerful for me. I think it is hard. There are things in it that perhaps for some people may be a little difficult to hear, but it does ask all of us as a society to take responsibility for the things that are happening around us, or at least to open our eyes and look and understand how important our democracy is.
Yeah, that was one of those plays that I saw that we had a lot of conversation afterwards amongst us who went to see it. It inspired a lot of thought and it was wonderful. Let me just say, it was wonderful. You know, because I didn't get to half my questions, that this is only part one of Betsy Cruz Craig, that we're going to have you back on the show because there's so many more things. There's more to your season that I would have liked to talk about. So please consider coming on later on in the beginning of the year, maybe, and finishing off for us what's going to happen at
I would
IT for
love
the
that.
rest of the season.
I would love that.
It's just so wonderful. You know, I love you dearly, and it's always a
Love
pleasure to be in your company.
you too. Thank you so much, Kathy and Aspen. This was really, really wonderful.
Well, thank you, Betsy. You do so many very worthwhile things. But unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. But Betsy Cruz Craig, we're so happy you took the time to be with us today to talk about the Invisible Theater and your work there as Managing Artistic Director. We're looking forward to the new season. You know, our community really appreciates all the fine work that you do there. And thanks to all of you out there who joined us today. This is Kathy Harris with Aspen Green, and you've been listening to Broad Perspectives Radio. You can hear more of our shows on our podcast page at kxci.org. But right now, don't touch that dial because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.